The title of the message tonight is Two Questions. It's going to be coming out of 1 Peter, so I just want to get right into this. It's a little bit of reading, but I'll have this up on the screen for you, and then we'll also have it online for you as well. Starting with verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1, 1 Peter. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness, wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do, so they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God, who stands ready to judge everyone, both the living and the dead. That is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead, so although they were destined to die like all people, they now live forever with God in the Spirit. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Can we get an amen for that? Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Here's the first question. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and the energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So Peter opens up chapter 4, addressing life with Christ and life with others. So one of the first things that we hear of in chapter 4 that we just read is he discusses suffering. He talks about suffering because of our faith. Philippians 1 and 29 says, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but what does it say? But also to suffer for him. Romans 5, starting with verse 3 says, we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So Peter actually says, be ready to suffer. Secondly, he talks about pursuing our own desires, things that we don't have, the sexual side of things that are impure. James 4:2 says, you desire it, but you don't have it, so you kill for it. And this is true of our world. This happens around the world every day, every night. This is going on, that somebody will take somebody else's life because they want what they have. Peter reminds us that we've experienced enough of the results and consequences of pursuing our flesh that he basically says, now let's give God a try. Can everybody agree with that? We've tried it on our own. We've made a mess of it. So now we're going to turn this over to God and let God be God. 1 John 2:17, it's a scripture that I use Sunday morning, but I thought I should bring it up again. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Then he goes on and Peter addresses this. He addresses the friends' reactions, the way that they will act around you, the things that they will say, the things that they will do to you. Listen, I remember back in, well, when I was radically saved, coming out of high school and being a lifeguard at Wet n Wild, I was living a life that was definitely not godly. And I remember, I don't have time to share my testimony with you tonight, but something happened to me that woke me up. And I had a radical transformation for Christ. I came to him with arms open. And guys, when I say I lost all my friends, I lost all my friends. Everybody that I worked with, everybody that I used to party with, people that I used to hang out with, people that I really considered thought, well, when even though I've given my life to Christ, they will still want to be in my life. I lost everybody to where, like in the summer, I think it was the August of that summer, I was hanging around with my ninth grade brother and his friend. I had nobody to hang out with. And so, you know, they were saying things like this, he's trying to prove he's not an alcoholic. It got back to me that they were saying, I heard he's training or to be a monk or something like that. Literally, I mean, that's what they were saying. And then I heard things that he's a hypocrite. And these things hurt. These things, you know, friends are always cool as long as you meet them where they are. And the thing is this usually leads to our compromise. Guys, there was a band, there still is a band, they're still together, called Styx, and they wrote a song, Too Much Time on Our Hands, and there's a line that comes out of that song that says this, I have dozens of friends and the fun never ends, that is, as long as I'm buying. As soon as that stops, friends are gone. Can everybody agree with me on that? The day you begin a true pursuit of Christ, no compromise, fully committed, this is the day. This is the day that we decide. This is the day that where we decide that we're going to let our light shine to others so that they can make the same decision that we have made that has created this life inside of us. And Peter says this right here, that when you decide to do that, he said it in Scripture, they will slander you. He goes on to talking about showing love. And this is where we tap into our spiritual gifts. If you don't know where that is, go look, take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and read it. I don't know when the last time that you've read that and maybe done a devotional on it, but I would encourage you to do that. I think it will help you. In 1 John 3:14, though, it says this, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. And anyone who does not love, the scripture says he remains in death. So again, I want to get right into this. Peter then asks these two questions. Here's the questions he asked. Do you have the gift of speaking? And do you have the gift of helping others? So let's address the first question. The first question is, do you have the gift of speaking? I don't know if you guys believe this way, but I've kind of sensed this just over in the last like 5-10 years. Evangelism, we have evangelists. But the spirit of evangelism, as far as believers in the church, has definitely taken a back seat. The Barna group is a group that I love to follow. They do surveys where they will ask all kinds of questions to all kinds of people. But they really give us a great perspective on some of the responses that believers give. And they surveyed 5,000 born-again believers from all denominations. And I will remind you of this in a little bit. And they asked two questions. And here's the question. The first question they ask is, do you believe you have a personal responsibility to share your faith with others? And then the second question was this, did you actually share the gospel with someone at least once in the last year? So here's what the answers were. To question one, again, let me read it to you again. Do you believe you have a personal responsibility to share your faith with others? And here's what came out of that poll. 73%, everybody say 73%. 73% of born-again believers said yes, and that was in all denominations. So I don't know if you've caught this. That sounds really good, and it really does, but that means that 27% of believers said that they don't feel a responsibility. So we're already at 27%. To question two, here's the question again. Did you actually share the gospel with someone at least once in the year? 1/3 of those, of the 73%, this is how they respond. They believe they should share the gospel message, but they didn't or they won't. So now we're looking at that over 50% of believers do not believe that they have a responsibility to do it. And then there's those that believe that, yes, they do, but they won't, or they didn't, or they won't. I remember having to talk to my friends about Jesus. And guys, you got to remember, I was a brand new believer. I wasn't a pastor. I had not been called to the ministry yet. I remember just with the person, the pastor who had led me to Christ, began to encourage me to share my faith. And guys, I wasn't a public speaker. I didn't have a large scripture arsenal. I just shared my heart. I opened my mouth. I let his story and his love speak for me, no matter the results. And I don't want Harvest to be a place that believers become comfortable with faith to the point of them never feeling the responsibility to share the message of Christ or never feeling the need to serve others. And I don't believe this church is that way either. Where is Peter coming from on this? Well, if you go back, and just write this down if you're taking notes. I want you to write down Acts 3 and 4, and I want everybody to read this week. They were going to honor God either way, and this is why Peter talks about this, because in Acts 3 and 4, he addresses, in those two chapters, four things. One is serving, the other was speaking, the other was healing, and then the fourth was testifying. Hebrews 13, 15 says, we, everybody say we. We offer our sacrifice of praise to God by telling others of the glory of his name. Do we have a responsibility to share the gospel with you guys? To you on the online, do we have the responsibility to share the gospel to others? And my answer is always going to be yes. Then we go into the second question. He asked this, Peter asked him, he said, do you have the gift of helping others? Why would Peter ask this? Because the world and culture will always measure greatness by possession, power, and status. It's been that way for thousands and thousands of years, and it's not changing. The world will always be like this, but God measures greatness in another way. Praise the Lord. Mark 10, starting in verse 41, says, when the other 10 heard of this conversation, they lost their tempers with James and John. Jesus got them together to settle things down. You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around, he said. And when people get a little power, how quickly it goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is why the Son of Man has done, he says, and it says this right here, he came to serve, not to be served. Praise the Lord. I've had the blessed opportunity to make many trips to Israel since 1997, around 25, 26 times. And in those times, about halfway through, I'd say about year 12, we had the opportunity of meeting this lady. Her name is Amun, and she runs a ministry in Jerusalem called the Damari Society. She is Gypsy. She's the original Gypsy. She comes from India, and their people live there. They've been in Jerusalem for hundreds of years. And she's very proud of it. But if you look at how people treat each other in Israel, you have the Jewish who don't like the Palestinians, and the Palestinians don't like the Gypsies. And so that means that the Jews don't like the Gypsies. And so there's this thing to where the Gypsies are just always at the bottom. Well, Amun, at some point in her young life, was so frustrated. I think she said she was a very young girl. And she went into this hallway in Jerusalem where there was a loud echo. And she just screamed to God, yelled at the top of her lungs, like almost like just a manic fit, just screaming to God. And this Orthodox priest walks by her and says, young lady, why are you screaming like this? And she just said, because everybody hates me. And he ended up being the one that served her and showed her Christ, showed her love, that it had such an impact on her that she made sure that when she got to a place to where she could take care of others, so she opened the Damari Society. And what she does, the vision was just to help Gypsy men and women have a trade, to have education, to be able to speak English. And then it went down to the children. Well, guess what? The Muslims started paying attention to it. They saw how much she was helping them, and so the poor of the Palestinians started reaching out to her. Can we get medicine? Can we get education? Can we learn a trade? And it just grew from there. And why I'm telling you this is because it had an impact on me. And so we started sowing into her ministry. We started coming. We'd come on trips, and if we ever go to Israel, we're going to go back and love on her some more. But we go, and we just try to minister to her and help her in whatever she's doing. But here's what I wanted to tell you. A Greek Orthodox priest speaks into her life. He serves her. And she comes to know Jesus because of that love. And because of her love and what she's done over the years, her younger brother watched her and watched her and watched her give her time and her love to people that he could not understand why she was doing it. And it led him to a personal relationship with Jesus. And he went to school to become a minister. And now he preaches the gospel to Gypsies and Muslims. All because of just serving, just showing love in a way that nobody else can do. Let me say this again. Helping others equals greatness. Helping others, serving someone, or loving people involves words and action. The words and action of others cross our paths every second of every day. And did you ever stop and think how words and actions are impacting others? Are we joining the building process of the kingdom of God when it comes to speaking or helping? Are we even trying? Being successful at anything takes repetition, believing in it, and having to try. Our beautiful country, the United States of America, is full of churches that do not reach outside their walls. The trunk or treat that we're doing on October 30th, there's churches that would never consider doing it because they get hung up on other things, but they're not considering that people are hurting right now in 2020, and they just want to know that there's some life out there, that there is some fun out there, and that there's people that care, and we're going to be a part of that. That's just one instance. And it goes on and on and on. It's all these things that we can look at. Our nation at this time is at a boiling point, a tipping that isn't looking like it's going to change for a while. And they do not serve, help, or share, or teach. They do not understand that they're just, there's churches out there, they're just happy with playing church. So now more than ever, we need to be available to those who are hurting. Give me an amen about that. Who are confused, who are looking for answers. Be the image of Christ. I would say this to you, if you're watching online. I've been talking about this since last Sunday, but it's that simple word of just being able to say yes to what God wants you to do. And in serving, it's the same thing. It's we talk about saying yes to Jesus, about giving our lives to him, but there's also that yes that has to follow, that I will pick up that cross and I'm going to love others. I'm going to serve them. Mark Batterson wrote a book called Chase the Lion. If you've never wrote that book, I'd recommend you just picking that up. It's an easy read. It's great for devotional. And I was reading it as a devotional. And you know what? Something popped in my head because I thought it spoke to exactly where we are right now in 2020. And here's a portion of what it says. He says in Chase the Lion, he says, we live in a culture that idolizes success and demonizes failure. But in God's kingdom, the outcome isn't the issue. Success isn't winning or losing, it's obeying. It's honoring God whether you are in the red or in the black. It's praising God whether you win the election or lose it. It's giving God the glory whether you're in the win column or the loss column. If you succeed in the wrong thing, you fail. This is what the world says. And if you fail at the right thing, you succeed. I'm sorry, this is the way that the Lord looks at it. God doesn't always call us to win. Sometimes he just calls us to try. Either way, it's obedience that glorifies God. So guys, let me say this one more time. If you fail at the right thing, you've succeeded. Because you tried. Come on. I think this is exactly what Peter is trying to say to his readers then and now. He's just saying, try. Try serving somebody. Try finding somebody that's really in need. Try finding somebody that's in your family that you know is hurting and that you could reach out to them and just love them. It's the obedience that glorifies God. And let me say that again. It's the obedience that glorifies God. My heart for Harvest VA has always been about helping those who are hurting and reaching those who are searching. And this will never change. I want to define evangelical for you. Because Barna Group did this survey, and he was talking to evangelicals. He's talking to those that were believers in Christ. And so I want to define this for you. So listen to this. Evangelicals say their faith is very important in their life today, believing they have a personal responsibility to share their religious beliefs about Christ with non-Christians. They believe that Satan exists. They believe that eternal salvation is possible only through grace, not works. Believing that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life on earth. Asserting that the Bible is accurate in all principles it teaches. And describing God as the all-knowing, all-powerful, perfect deity who created the universe and still rules it today. Is that where we stand? So that is the definition of an evangelical. But yet, In that survey, 73% of evangelicals agree that they have a responsibility to tell others about Jesus, but 31% of that 73 won't or don't. I want to challenge every attendee of Harvest VA to strive in the next year to share your faith vocally. Everybody in this room, that God would give you one person in 2021, maybe even one person in just the closing of this year, that we could just talk to them about Christ. One person that we could just see that they're looking for something different and that we would just invite them. I think Lori made the point this week with somebody just talking about that 80% of people, if you just ask them to go to church, that they will. I think in our heads, we hate rejection. Is everybody with me? We don't like being told no. We don't like the look sometimes that we get, but that 80% of people that we would just go and say, hey, you should come and check out our church, that they would say yes and come and be with us. I want to challenge, and I just want to say this again, every attendee of Harvest VA to strive in the next year to serve somebody in need. We can be a part of changing the status quo. I think it's just amazing. I think it just still kind of boggles my mind when I think about that Barna group, you know, survey, that we actually have believers that feel that there's no responsibility to talking about Christ. It just blows my mind. But I hope that in this church that we have a people that are rising up and raising up and want to see people change for the better, that we're believing that people are going to walk through those front doors and come in and we're going to introduce them to Jesus Christ and we're going to see it. We're going to break the status quo. Amen? God has blessed us all with the ability to love beyond ourselves, speaking and helping, opening our mouths. Listen, like I said, when I first started talking to my friends about Christ, let me share this story with you. I remember thinking I would never see a couple of my friends again. This is pre-internet and Facebook, all this stuff. And I just remember saying, God, if you give me the opportunity to run into my two best friends back from high school, I promise you I will tell them about what you've done in my life and I will share Christ with them. Guess what happens? Facebook comes along. Year later, I start finally seeing my friends are popping up on this thing. And guess what happened was the Holy Spirit came to me and said, do you remember what you said to me? Is everybody with me? And so I said, yes, I do. And one at a time, I was able to get on the phone with my friends and let them know what I was doing, what God had done in my life, and encourage them to give God a chance, to give him a shot. You've tried everything else and just tried to introduce them to the Lord, speaking and helping. So let's recap this night. The first thought was be available to God. Just be available to God. Peter's talking about these things where he goes through and he's telling you, you know, you're going to suffer. This is what your friends are going to do. These are the things that are going to happen. But what he's saying is let's give God a try. Let's be available for what he wants. The second thought is this. When you speak, and this is what Peter said, and this is how he said it in the scripture, speak as though God himself were speaking through you. So what does that mean? What does that look like? I would say let the Holy Spirit take control. Is that okay? Is that good? To let the Holy Spirit take control of what's going on and what needs to be communicated. Acts 4:13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Guys, that's exactly what I looked like back in that day. I still feel like I'm an uneducated man. But when the Holy Spirit takes over my heart and my tongue and I begin to talk to people sometimes about Christ, I will walk away and literally go, I don't know where that came from, but it was just Holy Spirit led. And then lastly, this is what comes out of the scripture. It says, when you help somebody, and this is what the scripture said, do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. That's one of the greatest things about being able to talk to somebody about Jesus, you guys, is this. Is that when that time comes and our hearts start racing and we know we're about to have this conversation, we're about to have this appointment with somebody, what happens is as soon as we start opening our mouths, God has already given us the strength and the energy to be able to do what we're about to do. Don't worry about scriptures that you do or don't know because you're going to have scriptures flowing out that you didn't even know that you knew because the Holy Spirit is going to speak through you. I want you to repeat this with me. Say this right here. I will be available. Say this with me. I will share the message of Jesus Christ. Everybody online, I want you to join us and say this with me. I will help those who are in need. Now, I blew it last Wednesday because I said I wanted two people to help me pray at the end of service, and I will not forget that this time. So I'm asking ahead of time, we are going to pray. I would like a man and a woman just to stand where you are once we get there, and you're just going to stand, and I want you to pray whatever the Lord has given you regarding what God has said to us tonight. This is what Peter wanted for the early church. This is exactly what Harvest will continue to be. We are going to love outside these walls, and we're going to use the mouths that God has given us to speak life into people who need life spoken into them. Amen? Heavenly Father, let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I thank you for this message today. I thank you that Peter lets us know that in Scripture that it says these things are going to happen. We're going to have moments of suffering. We're going to have time of suffering or even season. There's going to be friends and past family members and things like that that will slander us because of our walk in faith. We're going to work through these things, but you ask those questions. You ask the questions about loving. You ask the questions about serving. And here's the thing is that, Lord, I pray that all of us will find ourselves at a place to where we know and understand that we're capable. We're capable of doing this. We're capable of being able to invite somebody to church. We're capable of being able to tell somebody what Jesus has done for us, what our testimony is. Testimonies are so powerful, God, and help us to use them to see people come to Christ. And, Lord, you've also given us the ability to be able to serve people, to help people, to show them that people actually do care, that we can come in and buy groceries, that we can come in and do some work in their yard for them, that we can give them rides to here and there, that we can be on the phone and just give them ear time so that we can just talk, that we can give each other face-to-face time and that there's that, well, COVID-safe hugs, dear God. But Father, I just pray that you'll use us. Use us, Lord. Give us a boldness. Let people see the same boldness that they saw that we read in the Scripture, and they just know that we've been with Jesus. And we love you, God. We trust you, dear Lord. And for anybody, dear God, that is here tonight, that is struggling, that is online tonight and listening, that is struggling and that they just need help, dear God, I pray that we will reach out. That we will reach out to you first, God, but that we will also let our brothers and sisters help us as well. And Father, encourage us to use our mouths. Use our mouths, God, to speak for you. And while we're still online, while we're still, everybody's still in prayer, whoever has been just told by the Lord just to stand and pray, I want you to go ahead and do that now.